Welcome to Big Blue Kickoff Live right here on Giants.com. John Schmuck, Lance Mehta with you on this Tuesday afternoon, the 16th of September, 2014. How's everybody doing tonight? Hope everybody's having a great day. The Giants, of course, trying to rebound and gather some information on some injuries following that loss of the Arizona Cardinals on Sunday afternoon. The Houston Texans come our way on Sunday. Just a minute or so, we're going to have Pete Domelatis from Pro Football Focus join us on the phones here, and we'll discuss his grades from Pro Football Focus. Not only game number one, but also game number one on who's playing well for the Giants in this early part of the season. Lance, good afternoon. How are you?
I'm doing well, John. How about yourself?
I'm doing great as well. And, you know, the Giants here, you know, you're getting into almost must-win territory. With the way this schedule is set up, it's going to be tough to start the season 0-3 and make a serious playoff run. So they really need to get their act together and play some better football now heading into week number three.
Percentages are always against you when you start off 0-2. Carolina made the postseason last year at 0-2, but aside from the Panthers, it's been very difficult for teams to overcome slow starts. Right now, you just want to get that first victory. You're not thinking about the playoffs. You're not thinking about momentum. You just want to get that one W in the column. And it's a very tough task this week. They're going up against a Houston Texans defense, arguably one of the best units in the league through two games. This is a unit that has already collected six takeaways. Very opportunistic. They forced four turnovers in the win against the Oakland Raiders. They won 30-14. J.J. Watt has been playing immensely on both ends. Caught a touchdown in the win against Oakland, and they have a very good secondary. Jonathan Joseph was hurt last year. He is now fully healthy, so when you put all of these pieces together, Brian Cushing is now back in that linebacking unit. He was also out last year with an ACL injury. DJ Swearinger is one of the hardest hitters in the NFL, probably the best way to describe him. So the Texans have a lot of different weapons that they could throw your way in terms of getting to the quarterback and also playing some press coverage on your wideouts. And this has been an offense, the Giants, that has not been necessarily able to capitalize on some of its matchups over the first two games. So they're going to have to be extremely physical, and you cannot afford to have drop passes in a game like this.
No question. 201-939-4513. We're going to be joined by Pete Domelatis from Pro Football Focus in just a second here. But first, I want to take a listen to Eli Manning. He spoke to the media yesterday, and he talked a little bit about how the offense made some progress. They just shot themselves in the foot at the worst possible time.
You know, I thought we did some good things, but we just made too many mistakes that were big mistakes, and left a few opportunities out there on the field that we needed to make. And we just didn't make the plays in crucial moments. So, we're going to continue to get back to work, continue to make improvements, and know as an offense we got to score more points.
And that's basically all they can do, Lance, is try to go back to work and get some more points on the board and stop making those mistakes, whether it's penalties, whether it's turnovers, whether it's drop passes, whether it's miscommunications. All those things have to get better for this Giants offense to start scoring some points, because they don't have those explosive playmakers. They're going to have to sustain long drives here and, by the way, run the football better if they want to score some points.
And that should be priority number one heading into this game, John. The fact that they have not been able to run the ball very well over the first two contests has hurt them, because it's made them one-dimensional. And then when you add drop passes on top of that, you add the penalties, you continue to shoot yourself in the foot. It's very hard to fall back on something like a running game if it's non-existent. And this was a big storyline that was extremely prevalent during the course of last season: the inability to have a consistent ground attack. And it looked good in the preseason. It has yet to translate over. Why? Well, part of it has been the inconsistency of the offensive line, and part of it has been the decision-making of the running back. So they need to get that on track against a very tough Houston Texans team, which has been quite stingy against the run this season.
Yeah, and their defense traditionally has been very good. Last year, much like the offense, they had a bit of a down year. But a lot of times, it's tough for a great defense to sustain that type of play if the offense can't stay on the field. It creates some challenges, and it makes things a lot more difficult on the defense when the offense can't do what they need to do on that side of the field.
Well, the Houston Texans offense hasn't necessarily been a prolific group. Either have the Giants. So it will be very interesting to see how this game plays out. I mean, to me, if you had to compare both units, the Texans' defense has been much more consistent than the Giants' defense. So, I mean, that gives them a significant edge heading into this game, which means that the margin for error for the Giants' offense is minute. because if you continue to follow the route over the first two games where you turn the ball over, you don't protect the football, what that's going to do is it's going to put your defense in a precarious situation, and it's going to give gifts to the opposition. And you're going up against Ryan Fitzpatrick this week, who has done a great job protecting the football. Three touchdowns, no interceptions. However, based on other quarterbacks in this league, I wouldn't necessarily put Ryan Fitzpatrick at the top of the list. You can get to him. You just need to take advantage of your opportunities.
Well, and it's also going to be very important for the Giants to stop the run. I mean, the Texans want to run the football and pound it with Arian Foster. They have Kyle Shanahan, used to do the running game for the Redskins, so you know the type of running game they're going to have, trying to run the ball at that zone stretch read and that sort of thing that they do there. It's not the read option where the quarterback's going to run the football, though Fitzpatrick is more mobile than people give him credit for. It's that stretch play that they run a lot in Denver when Mike Shanahan was there with Terrell Davis, and Kyle Shanahan brought that down to the Redskins. Now that's what they're running in Houston, which is similar to what Mike Shanahan, Gary Kubiak did when he was the head coach, when he was obviously there as the offensive coordinator in Denver before he went over to Houston.
Correct. They all have that family
game plan.
Kyle Shanahan now has moved on to the Cleveland Browns.
I'm sorry.
But with that being said, though, the Texans are still running some of the same principles that Shanahan brought to the table. They're still looking to Arian Foster to do a lot of their heavy lifting, and he has been dynamic to start this season. He ran the ball very effectively against the Washington Redskins in the opener that they won 17-6, and then he continued that against the Oakland Raiders. At one point, he had five carries for 97 yards.
Right.
You cannot let him do that to you very early in a contest.
And the Texans do run that system. You're right. That's my mistake. Kyle Shanahan is with the Browns, and I got the two mixed up. Ben Tate, who used to be with the Texans, is his running back in Cleveland.
So a lot of connections.
You got all these connections going on here. So you're 100% right. Now we will be joined by Pete Domelatis from Pro Football Focus at PFF Pete, and of course you can go to ProFootballFocus.com. They grade the games, they grade the players, they grade performance, and he joins us here for a few minutes before we get to your phone calls on Big Blue Kickoff Live. Pete, good afternoon. How are you, man? It's good to talk to you.
Yeah, good to talk to you guys, too.
All right, Pete, lay it down for us. We won't even just talk about last week. Let's talk about the first 2 weeks together as a unit. I want to start on the offensive line because I feel like it's tough from a layman's perspective to get a feel for what's going on in the trenches. I thought the offensive line played a lot better in week two. I think J.D. Walton was probably the weakest link in week number two. I'd like to get your opinion how you think the offensive line did from week one to week two and overall so far in this regular season.
Yeah, I think you're spot on with that, John. J.D. Walton and Weston Richburg in particular had a rough week, too. In their defense, they were going against Calais Campbell, who's one of the best interior defensive linemen in the league. So he just abused them. I mean, he had nine defensive stops, and the next best Cardinal had three. So that gives you a perspective of how dominant he was. But elsewhere on the line, you saw a lot of good things from the Giants this last week. Will Beatty, who I know he's kind of the favorite punching bag for a lot of Giants fans. He actually graded out as our second highest left tackle of week two. So, and he kind of had a little bit of a subpar game in week one. So he had a huge bounce back last week, which was great. And elsewhere, John Jerry, he didn't give up a single quarterback pressure this past week against the Cardinals. So you saw some improvement from the Giants offensive line. Even in week one, they actually looked a lot better in the second half than they did the first. They gave up seven pressures in the first half, only one in the second. So you're starting to see, maybe because these guys are getting some more snaps together, they're starting to gel and they're improving.
Now, as a result of the offensive line playing better, Eli Manning looked more and more comfortable in the pocket, Pete, but a lot of drop passes in this last game. And I know Pro Football Focus has a different strategy in terms of how you count drop passes versus the television broadcasters. So how many drop passes did you tally out of this game, and where do the Giants rank in that department over the course of these two games?
So we had Eli with three drop passes this game, and he has seven on the season, which is tied for the third most of any quarterback. Now, I feel like because it's live and they're on TV, the announcers sometimes get a little aggressive when they're calling players out for drops. A good example is that Reuben Randall play on the Giants' second-to-last drive. It was that long throw down the left sideline where they were ripping Randle for the drop. But you know, if you look at the replay, Antonio Cromartie did do a good job of getting his hand in there. And
late though, Pete, he got that hand in there late. Randle had a chance with two hands on the ball to bring it in and have it secure. He didn't have it secure when he brought it towards his body, and that's why he was able to get knocked out.
And that's why you know, I'm not absolving Randle of any blame here, because I think he definitely, you know, he could have brought that in. It just doesn't technically go down as a drop in our book, because you know, it wasn't like he had both hands on the ball and wasn't affected by the defender. Similarly, you know, Victor Cruz had one where he was really stretching, and it was one of those plays where if he brought it in, it would have been a great catch. So yes, he got two hands on the ball, but realistically, when it comes to these things, we don't want to slam players. You know, when it's sort of a judgment call, subjective. So oftentimes we'll just put them, you know, it's not a drop. So I know, you know, even though Eli had three drops for the game, I can totally understand when a Giants fan is saying, "Oh, I counted at least five, maybe six." You know, that's. But yeah, you know, they really let him down this week, because you know, Eli, he's played pretty well this season. Even last week, we know he had the two bad interceptions, but you know, other than that, I mean, they had four drop passes against the Lions as well. And Eli, you know, you're starting to see some good things for him. It's a shame that the offense isn't gelling enough to come through for him with all these drop passes. The one thing I would actually be concerned about Eli is, in the past, he's been one of the best quarterbacks under pressure in the league. 2011 in particular, he was amazing. He was constantly under siege, and he did well. This year, he has a 93 quarterback rating when he isn't pressured, and that drops to a 0.2 when
wow.
he is pressured. So
that is surprising.
That's something to keep an eye on, and it gives me a little hint that maybe he's just still not comfortable behind that offensive line.
Pete, I think part of that, too, might be comfort in the offense. Too, because he probably knows all the checks and the reads for blitzes in the old offense he's in for so long, and those are the type of instinctual reaction plays that maybe he's not quite used to in this new system with whatever reads they have to do off of the blitzes.
Yeah, absolutely. I'd agree with that. And you see those times, too, where not as much in the past, he would get the ball out right before the defender got here.
Yeah.
Now he's sort of padding it, holding on, trying to roll out, which we all know isn't his game. So that's the one thing I would worry about Eli Manning right now, but I wouldn't say he's had a bad season at all.
All right, Pete, one other thing I want to touch on the offense before we jump over to the defensive side of the ball. The Giants ran the ball well in the preseason. So far this year, they haven't been very consistent in the running game. 3-something yards per carry. They've been terrible, but they haven't been as good as you would have liked them to be. Is this a product of other teams bringing that eighth man up into the box and forcing the Giants to beat them with the pass, or are the Giants simply not moving the ball on the ground against seven-man fronts?
I think it's the product of playing two great defensive lines, and in particular, you know, you have, you know, the Lions last week. You've got to deal with Ndamukong Suh and Nick Fairley, who, you know, aside from maybe Buffalo, I would say that they're the best defensive tackle tandem in the league. And this week, you know, they had Calais Campbell, who's just a one-man wrecking crew. So, yes, you know, I think I put it more on the offensive line, because I don't see a lot of teams bringing the extra defender down to. You know, focus on the Giants' running game. I just think they're getting beat up front by two very good teams. And, you know, it's not going to get better this week against J.J. Watt and the Texans. But you know, maybe after that we'll start to get a better sense of how the Giants are. So even if this week they stink, I'd still hold out faith that they'll eventually be able to run the ball at some point this season.
Speaking of the defense, Pete, they lose Walter Thurman, the Giants, due to a torn pectoral muscle. He was brought in to primarily play the slot, and they don't want to have to move Antrel Roll back into that spot. How significant of a loss is Walter Thurman, at least from a statistical standpoint, where now you now turn back to Tremaine McBride in that slot spot?
You know, I think it's a huge problem. Walter Thurman, I thought, was one of the more underrated signings of the offseason. He actually, in his career, he's never given up a touchdown pass in slot coverage.
Wow.
I can't remember how many hundreds of snaps he's had there, but it's a lot. So, you know, he's you know, a great slot cornerback, and I think he's a significant loss for them. And even last week, you sort of saw them kind of cycling some guys in and out there. They brought Stevie Brown into the slot a couple times. They brought Antrel Roll. They had McBride slide over, but frankly, that's really not his game. Last season, he was mostly on the outside.
Yeah.
I could see them maybe juggling Rodgers Cromartie and maybe bringing Mukamara inside.
Wow.
But But it's a problem. And also people say, well, Jaron Hosley might be able to take that back, take that role when he comes back. But, he was brutal in the slot in the past. A couple years ago he was flirting with basically a perfect passer rating when he was covering the slot. So even this preseason, he had a really, really rough preseason. So I don't think Hosley's gonna be any sort of savior for them. I just think they're kind of limiting their options now. And if I'm going to choose one guy who I think would move into the slot, I think they'd probably put Rodgers Cromartie in there because he has some experience there. But even him, he's struggled in the slot in the past. So I think Thurman's a very big loss for them. I'm really interested to see how they rebound from it, if they can.
Hey, B, one thing I've kind of noticed, we're joined by Pete Domelatis from Pro Football Focus. I've seen some plays here where Stevie Brown's in the vicinity, and all I can help but think is, boy, if Will Hill was playing that spot, I think Will Hill would have made that play. How much are we seeing the Giants hurt in the back end this year having Stevie Brown back there instead of Will Hill?
Stevie Brown, like, he's missed a couple tackles this season. I mentioned that he missed a few in the preseason as well. I think that might just be him getting back into the flow of things. He had a good game this past week. He got some pressure on the quarterback, but I think it's really tough for him to replace the impact that Will Hill had. So, I think that, I think Brown's a good, safe option back there, but he's not that as much of a downhill disruptor as Will Hill was. So it's almost not like the Giants, it's not a weak spot for them with Stevie Brown back there, but the upside isn't nearly as high as they had with Will Hill, where he could really be one of the biggest difference makers on your defense.
Pete, every year when it comes to the Giants defense, the fan base always focuses on the linebacker spot, especially over the last few years. The Giants haven't turned to the draft to improve that group. They re-signed John Beeson. His status is up in the air. Jamil McClain they brought in. If Beeson is not able to play this week, clearly that is going to change who they bring in. But Jaquan Williams was expected, now that he's healthy, to have that breakout campaign. What have you seen out of Jaquan Williams? How has he graded out, especially since he had a fairly rough game against the Lions?
Yeah, he had a tough game against the Lions, like particularly in coverage. Every time they threw at him, they completed the ball. They were able to beat him with both, the tight ends with Fourier and Pettigrew, and also Reggie Bush. And the Lions, they're a tough matchup too, especially when you have a guy as dynamic as Reggie Bush back there, and even Joik Bell, who I think is an underrated pass catcher. Last week he graded well for us. He did most of his damage in the running game actually. So I think, again, with Williams, it's almost like him putting it together, because he's had these kind of these games in the past where he's sort of up and down, and you want him to have more games like he had against the Cardinals than he did against the Lions. And I think a lot of that comes down to his coverage. So it's nice to see him, against a running back like Andre Ellington, who is pretty quick in his own right, for Williams to be able to hold his own there. So you definitely saw some good signs of improvement last week. You just want to see more consistency out of him from a week-to-week basis.
Hey, Pete, final question for me in the defensive line. We saw the sack numbers get better last week. How many of those were true pressure sacks? How many of those would you consider to be covered sacks?
I actually haven't looked at the specific breakdown of the specific sacks, but I would say, they did a good job of getting pressure in general last week against Drew Stanton. And, they had five sacks, but, Robert Ayers, his couple sacks, he just flat out beat his guy.
Yeah.
And he's been a revelation this year. And I thought he was him and Thurman were the two guys who I thought, were sort of those underrated quiet signings who would make a big difference, and Ayers certainly has. Actually, we have a pass rushing productivity metric where we divide the player's quarterback pressures by the number of pass rush snaps he has, and he's actually third among Robert Ayers. He's third among defensive ends in that metric. So he's had a great season so far, and he had those two sacks on just 15 pass rush snaps last week too. So it's not like he's getting a ton of playing time, but he probably should be given how well he's done. And also, just one other thing I wanted to call out on the defensive line: Mathias Kiwanuka had a great bounce back game. He wasn't so great. He had the worst grade of any 4-3 defensive end in week one against the Lions. And after last season, which was so rough for him, you're all of a sudden worried. But he did a pretty good job this week of bouncing back. So it's some good signs on the defensive line, and I definitely think that, it's probably a unit that's a lot better than it looked at, like, you know, even a few weeks ago.
All right, Pete, 60 seconds before we say goodbye very quickly. Tell us something about the Texans we might not know.
Something about the Texans you might not know, other than the fact that J.J. Watt's the best defensive player in the league.
That we know. That we know.
We do know that, right? Because, you know what, it didn't seem like people knew it last year when Luke Kuechly won Defensive Player of the Year.
So, that's a fair point.
You know, I would say, you know, Jonathan Joseph is a guy who, you know, he's another big name, but he's having a rebound season. And, you know, I think Lance, you mentioned it right before I got on here. You said he's healthy this year. And, you know, he didn't look great last season, but, you know, he's definitely rebounding this year. And also, you know, you have, you know, I like their safeties as well. You know, you've got a young guy in DJ Swearinger who's kind of made a lot of noise for personal fouls and yapping his mouth on the field. But, you know, he's definitely a good pass rush presence for them from the secondary. And also Daniel Manning's been pretty reliable for them this season as well. So, you know, I definitely think that, you know, that defense is a force to contend with. And, you know, if the Giants can move the ball on them, and obviously hasn't been very promising the last couple weeks, then, you know, that's something for fans really to get excited about.
Pete, thanks a lot for the time, my friend. We'll talk to you down the road.
Thanks a lot.
Yeah,
Pete.
No problem. Thanks, guys.
Pete Domelatis, Pro Football Focus. You can go to Pro Football Focus. You can buy their premium package for some extra stats. Although you can just check out their regular site for some of the work that they do. They grade every play, and they give out their grades, and it kind of gives you another ability, another way, another method to break down the Giants as you move week to week. He's at PFF_Pete on Twitter. You can follow him and check him out there. Now let's get to your phone calls at 201-939-4513. I think Pete's been pretty much seeing stuff the same way we have. So not a whole lot of news there. Pretty much what we've seen the last couple of weeks, we're all kind of on the same page. So what do you think? Let's go to Nana in Georgia. We'll start with her. Nana, good morning. How are you?
Hello. Good afternoon. How are you guys?
How are you,
Nana?
Doing
well, Nana. How's everything with you? What you got?
I wanted to see, what do you guys think the chances are of Corey Washington getting the start this weekend?
I don't think he'll start, Nana, but I think depending on what happens with Jarrell Jernigan's injury, he's battling a mid-foot sprain. I know, shocking, Jarrell Jernigan's hurt. Nobody can believe that. But I think with that being the case, in those three wide receiver sets, you could see Cruz moving into the slot, and it would not shock me if Washington and Randall are the two outside wide receivers.
Okay, yeah, because I think he should get more touches because I believe that he creates a matchup problem. You know, I'm just kind of surprised that he hasn't been, you know. I was never a big Jernigan's fan. You know, I thought that, you know, Corey Washington should have automatically got the start over him because I felt like, you know, Jernigan been on the team for how many years and really hasn't done much for us. So why not let, you know, this kid in who's actually hungry and want to, you know, make plays?
Well, the opportunity is right in front of him if Jernigan can't suit up. Remember, they also have Preston Parker, who did play a number of snaps in the last game. So I think it's really going to come down to either one of them who will step in the event Jernigan can't go. With a mid-foot injury, you know, usually it's a multi-week injury. So I would assume there's going to be opportunities for Washington and Parker to make an impact. Who's necessarily one ahead of the other? It's too early to tell. And one of the other things that you pointed out, Nana, where you say, yes, he's a matchup advantage because of his height. You can't get caught up in that just because of the height. As long as Corey Washington's making plays in practice and they have confidence in him, you know, that is going to push him on the field. Not necessarily whether or not he's got a few inches on a Jonathan Joseph or a Kareem Jackson, who actually are two small guys. They're only about 5'11". So Corey Washington would have a significant height advantage on those two if he is lined up on the outside.
Yeah, but I felt like, don't you think he had a good preseason, you know?
Well,
it's not like it's just his size. I mean, he had a good preseason.
Oh, yeah, no question. Yeah, I mean, it's his production in the preseason that got him onto the roster, not his size. So he's certainly shown he can make plays. Now, when you get into the regular season, you saw him make plays against the twos and the threes in preseason games that don't count. Now, we'll see, depending on Jernigan's injury, he'll have the opportunity to show whether or not he can do it against ones in the regular season. It's two very different worlds. There's no guarantee it's going to work, but he might have the opportunity, depending on if the Giants want to give him the nod or Preston Parker the nod, if Jarrell Jernigan can't go on Sunday.
Well, I'm excited to see if he does, you know, get, you know, more touches or whatever. I wanted to talk about you guys' Giants wall back there.
Yeah, what do you got?
I think it's cool or whatever, but I think it would be even cooler if you guys would, like, add on some of the fans wear, like, their Giants jerseys or whatever.
Well, you know what, Nana, actually, people might not have noticed, I did make some changes to the wall this morning before we came on the show.
Wow,
I'm sure you guys can notice
some
things have been moved around, some things have been changed a little bit. And I said this on the first show, and I'll say it again. If fans have a picture or something that they want to send in, just hit me or Lance up on Twitter. We'll get you the information. You'll send it in. I'm not guaranteeing it's going up, but if we think it's funny, we think it's cool, we will rotate stuff on and off the wall all year long. The whole point is to have fun with this thing.
Just make sure you keep it PG-13.
Yeah.
That's the only thing.
Oh, yeah, of course. Because I was thinking it would be cool if you guys could add, like, the like callers who call in a lot, like regulars, you know, if you guys would add them on the wall, you know, rocking their jerseys or, you know, whatever Giant stuff.
Yeah, no, that, I think that's a great idea. And if people want to send stuff in, they can even send it to us on Twitter. You can send pictures through Twitter, things like that.
Okay.
Send them in. We can print them out. We can put them up.
Yeah, I think that would be cool. All right, thank you, guys.
Thank you, Nana. Appreciate it.
All right,
thanks
bye.
So much.
201-939-4503. That's the point here, folks. We want to move stuff in and out. We want to have some fun with it. We want to, you know, not be very formal.
Well, plus, there's only so many photos of John Schmelk that we could put up here. I mean, with Carl Banks, we have you with Paul Dottino somewhere, unless you took that down. There it is. It's in the corner here. You know, every time I look back, it's John Schmelk.
It's a lot more Bob Papa. I got Bob Papa over your right shoulder. I got Bob Papa over my right shoulder. Yeah. He's over here. Bob Papa's kind of everywhere.
Well, I'm still here. There you are. You're over there. You're over here. You know, I'm going to need five different hands.
Well,
to,
you haven't brought in any pictures of yourself.
Well, I mean, I thought that I would have been well documented on the internet by now that you could have maybe done some
research.
What,
I'm taking screen grabs? So, how about
well, you have so much time on your hands.
How about you put some effort into it and bring in a picture?
I'm not too worried
about my presence
here. I was working my rear
end off for a week
here
on this thing, and then you gave me nothing.
Well, I didn't know you made tweaks this morning.
You gave
me problems.
You're not paying attention.
Yeah.
Hey, Joe, we got a little dial tone in the air there,
please. I think that may be a signal we should segue.
Yeah, exactly. Thank you.
Next caller.
201-939-4513. 201-939-4513. Let's go back to the phones, and now we're going to say hello to James in Pennsylvania. James, what's going on, pal?
Hey, how you doing? How you doing?
James,
well,
thanks,
James.
Bob. What's going on with you?
What you got?
I'm going to be two things. I was kind of agreeing with the woman with Corey Washington. I think he be a good addition there to get a little more reps. But like you said, you got to see if he's ready to go with the first team or not.
Well, you know what? If Jarrell Jernigan can't go this weekend, James, my guess, whether it's a lot of snaps or a few snaps, he's going to have some opportunities.
Yeah, because he got a little flair to me. He reminded me of Chad Johnson a little bit. Like, he could be something special.
Well, I don't know if you want to throw him into Chad Johnson's boat, you know, because Chad Johnson's mouth got him, you know, basically sent out of the league. So I'm not sure if that's the best comparison.
Well, I mean, his playing ability, his you know, ability as a player, not as a personality.
I got you.
But my thing is from the Cardinals game, when Beeson was out, I was wondering why didn't they put McClain back in the middle and that Pace Singer played an outside linebacker. Because his name, Herzlick, was just too slow, you know, not getting the reads right away.
Yeah, you know, and Mike Farmer brought this up on Twitter, too. I was going to get to his tweet in a little bit. It's going to be interesting. We have no news on John Beeson. There seemed to be a lot of mystery surrounding this thing yesterday. No one seems to have word on what's wrong with him. It's the same foot that he broke, had a fracture in. So whether or not the two are related, I guess we'll find out. But if he has to miss a significant amount of time here, and Devon Kennard still not ready to play with the hamstring, Coach Coughlin did not sound optimistic about Kennard on Monday.
It didn't sound great.
So my guess is, and what I would do, I would put McClain in the middle, and I would have Jaquan and Spencer Paysinger on the outside. And that's how I would handle it. Now, I'm not sure what the Giants are going to do, but I agree with you. Whenever you see Herzlick go on the field, the middle linebacker, James, all you see teams, you see even through their face mask, their eyes just get really bright, and they just attack the middle of the field.
Right. They go at him on the run and the pass because he can't pass defend the quicker backs and or the tight ends, that for that matter. And he's not – it's like the running back be almost at the tackle before he make a read move to go that direction, you know, and he's always in the trail position.
Yeah, you know, he just doesn't have the speed to go sideline to sideline against some of the faster players.
Right, right. That's correct.
And I'm sure they're going to take a look at the combinations during the course of practice this week because that was evident on film. They're going to look to get their strongest threesome out there in the game against the Houston Texans, especially if you're down Beeson. It's highly unlikely Kennard's going to play. So if you
right.
have Jaquan Williams, Herzlick, and McClain out there, you know, Pacinger's your only backup. To me, it would make sense for Herzlick to be your main backup in case one of those three get hurt during the course of that Texans
and
game.
You might have to worry about bringing somebody up off the practice squad, too, at this point, if Beeson is out, to have some depth at linebacker, and Kennard can't play.
Exactly, exactly.
All right, James.
Okay. All right, well, and I just want to let y'all know that there is a lot of Giants fans here in Philadelphia. I catch a lot of flack, but I'm true blue all the way.
All right, James. Appreciate it, man. And, boy, Eagles at 2-0. Big win last night against the Colts. Big comeback victory. Giants at 0-2, it can't be fun for James down there in Philadelphia.
No,
right
not at all, especially with the way that the Eagles' offense is clicking. Darren Sproles had a monster game last night, as did LeSean McCoy. That 1-2 punch has created a lot of obstacles for the opposition thus far.
Let's go to Roger on Long Island next. Roger, you're on Giants.com. What's going on, Roger?
Hey, good afternoon, gentlemen. Pleasure to talk to you guys again.
Thanks
How
for calling
everybody?
In, Roger. How
Appreciate
are you? We're doing great.
I'm doing good. You know, I just finished listening to Antrell Roll on WFAN.
Oh, what do you have to say?
You know, he said a couple of great things. He said that it's a must-win. He also said that they're going to give the crowd something to cheer about. You can count on that, was his exact quote.
Well,
and,
they need it.
You know, Coughlin also had said, you know, in his press conference yesterday, that if the, you know, a whole little thing about the fans could stay positive through the whole entire thing. I'm a season ticket holder, and when I got my tickets 5 years ago, I said to my buddy, we got two seats, we're going to go as low as we can.
Right.
We went section 134, row 5.
That was good
and
seats.
We did it because we're going to change the culture one row at a time. When I stand up on third down, man, now I'm a considerate fan. I stand up on third down.
Which is
the
fair.
Shouts from behind me that say, down in front, down in front, is incredible. I will turn to my buddy and go, people aren't going to like this. We're going to stand on second down. And I will get booed. I will be yelled at. And I'm telling everybody this weekend that Coach Coughlin and Antrell Roll told me that I need to be standing up, that I need to be cheering as loud as I can to help this club. And you can count that 134, row 5, and so the whole section behind me will have to stand up, and I hope that everybody has my back.
You know, Roger, it's funny you mention it, and I experienced this when the – and again, I'm not in the stands at MetLife Stadium, so I can't really attest to what it's like in there. I can attest to the fact that when the Yankees moved out of their old building, and I had a ticket plan there. I have a ticket plan in the new stadium too. And, you know, in the old stadium, at two strikes, everyone used to get up, you know, clap on two strikes. You try to do that in the new stadium now, the same thing that Roger's talking about happens to you. Down in front, sit down, we're trying to watch the game. And, again, you're right, it's a culture thing. And if the fans want the building to be as intimidating as some of these other places, that's the type of stuff that's going to have to happen.
That's right. That's what's going to have to happen. And you know what? I'm ready to do that every Sunday. I'm a father of two. It's not like I'm a 22-year-old guy who's got, you know, I could just go and drink and party. And, I work on Monday morning just like everybody else probably in that building. But, you know, I'm going to be there, and we're going to change it one row at a time. I believe in these guys. I don't think it's going to go the way that it went last year. I believe in that Corey Washington's and the Parkers are going
to
come in and make some plays. I really do.
Well,
I really hope it's true. And I think that the guys like DeMontre Moore and Hankins, and these are all our young guys I'm naming, I believe in them, man. And I think that come Sunday, I saw that we were close. We were so close. I think that we're going to break out first to Texas. I think we win this game, guys. Have a good morning.
All right, you all too, right, man. Roger. Appreciate it. Good call. And, again, we're not in the stands of MetLife, but let me go this way. I've been at road games, and the noise at the road games always seems to be a little bit more intense than the ones at MetLife Stadium.
Well, you want to make it difficult on the opposition.
Yeah. Then again,
test them in
and,
terms
you know,
of play calling.
I heard them play the Tom Coughlin quote that he was talking about, and FAN this morning did not play the full quote. They played the part where he says, you know, we need the fans to stay enthusiastic, keep energy the whole game, then they cut the cutoff. They didn't play the part where afterwards he goes, well, it's also the team and the players' responsibility
right.
to give the fans something to cheer about. So some people, the way they edited the audio, which you can get creative with sometimes, as I well know, which I try not to do here as best I can. You want to try to keep context. And the context of that statement was, he said, in a perfect world, the fans are loud from beginning to end no matter what you do. But we understand that in the fourth quarter on Sunday, we didn't give the fans anything to cheer about, and that's on us. And we need to do a better job of playing good football to keep the fans engaged. And look, the Giants have to play better. We know. And he mentioned Roll and Coughlin. We have a couple quotes. This is Roll and Coughlin together yesterday. They talked about the defense's inability to get takeaways. Zero takeaways so far for the Giants defense. And then Yohancho right after Coach talk about how the defense can go about getting some more takeaways. Let's listen in.
The no takeaways is an issue now. We've had two games. We have not had a takeaway, no fumbles, no interceptions. And, you know, this is something that that every team counts on in the NFL. Counts on getting an extra field position, bona fide field position from some type of a takeaway, whether it be special teams or defense. And we have not had that.
We have to play smarter. We have to take chances. I don't feel like we're taking enough chances as a defense as far as believing what we see. You know, if you see it, go get it. If they make a play, we line up, we play again. You have to take chance. You know, you can't be a defense that's scared to get beat or, you know, not sure, you know, second-guessing yourselves. I mean, you know, we're all smart guys. We all play the games a long time. So if you see it, you got to go get it.
There you go. Andre Roll and Tom Coughlin. Look, the offense knew it was going to be an issue, Lance. And we said at the start of the year, and Paul Dottino said it a million times, Roman Oben, Anita Marks, everyone that's on the show has said it. The defense need to help out this offense early on in the year. And they might need to help them out the entire year. This offense just isn't the type of explosive offense we've seen here over the past decade. And so far, the defense hasn't been terrible, but they also haven't gone above and beyond to try to help this team win games.
Well, special teams hasn't necessarily helped either.
Oh, not at all.
You can get
not
takeaways via special teams, too, or you can give gifts as a result of special teams, which we saw against the Arizona Cardinals. 44 giveaways last season. That number just jumps off the page because it was the Achilles heel of the team last season, and they can't repeat that. Six turnovers over the course of two games, it's not pretty. You look at the Texans, the opponent coming in this weekend, they're +5 in turnover differential. They have one turnover, and they've taken the ball away six times, and that's a big reason why the defense has set the tone for the Texans over the first two contests. They're going to be a hungry defense, and they're going to look to take advantage of the Giants' issues in the ball security department. So as a result, you need the defense to make up for some of those shortcomings, and the defense hasn't capitalized. The best example, the best opportunity that they had against the Detroit Lions when the game was relatively close in the first half, Joyke Bell coughs up the football as the Lions were going to march it to the end zone. The Giants have the ball right in front of them, and they were not able to recover it. It's those types of plays that you need the ball to bounce your way. You need to be all over it. You need to converge on the football because then all of a sudden field position starts to change, and you keep points off the board from the opposition. That has been non-existent over the first two games.
201-939-4513. Bobby is in New Jersey. Bobby, you're up next on Big Blue Kickoff Live on Giants.com. How are you?
I'm good, guys. How are you today?
Good afternoon.
Doing well, Bobby. What you got?
Nothing. I just wanted to call in. I haven't called in a while. Wanted to see, just kind of, I wasn't listening earlier in the show. I forgot you guys moved time. I wanted to see what's your guys' general, you know, your guys, you and Lance's feeling on, you know, just where we're at right now. Just down on us, you know, we got potential. What's your vibe so far?
Bobby, here's the thing for me. This team and NFL teams in general, you win games by your players going above the X's and O's and making some plays. And frankly, in the first two games this year, I can't think of more than two or three plays where I'm like, wow, that guy just made one hell of a play. The Dominic Rogers-Cromartie to separate Michael Floyd from the ball this weekend, that was one of those plays like, wow, that was a heck of a play. But I'm trying to think in my head of it. You know, Robert Ayers had a really nice move to get a sack the other day. That was
JPP
a really nice play.
JPP slowed down the run on one play where they were able to then convert.
But they're few and far between.
Yeah.
And the guys just aren't going out there making the plays they need to make to win games. And you're right, they're not consistent. The defense hasn't been as dominant as you would like. The offense has had struggles. But let's be honest, I'm going to point at one number here. It's really, really simple, Bobby. -6. The Giants are -6 in the turnover ratio. You can't win games that way. And guess what? They're worse in the league. Again. For a second straight year, -6, last in the NFL in terms of turnover ratio. If you do that, you lose games. That simple.
Bobby, yeah, they flashed here or there, but, you know, there hasn't been any period of continuity on any of the facets of this football team, and that's an issue. That's
clean
a big
up.
Problem.
You had a lot of stuff to clean up, Bobby.
In terms of potential, Bobby, well, it's still too early to close the door on the season. It's only two games, but if they continue to shoot themselves in the foot like this, if the turnover differential ratio that John just threw out doesn't change drastically, they're going to have a very hard hard problem winning games throughout the course of the season.
Yeah, I agree. It's a combination of on defense, lack of playmakers and as well as on offense. You know, the guys that we have, like a Cruz who's supposed to make plays, you know, caught five balls, dropped, I think, three, a couple of them crucial. You know what I mean? That's who else are you going to go to on the Giants offense that you could say, oh, you'd more be relying on?
Yeah, Bobby, those are the guys. Look, those are your two starting wide receivers. They had the opportunity to win that game for you on Sunday, and whether it was, you know, Randall not being able to be strong enough to keep Cromartie from knocking the ball away, or Cruz having the ball hit his hands twice and not coming up with either pass. If you want to win games, your starting wide receivers have to make those plays. And Tom Coughlin said that yesterday. I'm not saying anything he didn't say. So these are the guys you're paying the money to. And, you know, money doesn't matter when you're on the field, but those are the guys that are taking up a lot of salary cap space to win games for you. And when they're helping you lose games, you're running into problems.
Exactly. I think, too, on defense, you know, I think like Antrell was saying, we have to trust ourselves more. Just go for it. We see something, go for it. Don't be so cautious because we're getting caught on our. You know, we're back to a couple of years ago. Where we were doing that whole 15-yard cushion. Guys are just catching the ball in front of us. We're trying to make tackles.
Yeah.
Rather than, you know, risking it, and maybe they get a big play, but maybe you make a big play. And I think it's going to suck a little bit when they put this new drug policy back in and Will Hill comes off that suspension.
Well, before you start to speculate about that, Bobby, and a lot of names have been thrown out and nothing is official, but Will Hill was not on that laundry list of players that was going to be immediately reinstated, and I've heard a lot of Giants fans keep pointing to that. He was a multiple offender, so there's no guarantee that once this new policy is implemented that Will Hill automatically starts to play for the Baltimore
Ravens. In fact, I can almost guarantee he's not going to play right away.
Correct.
At best, he's going to have his suspension reduced a little.
Well, I he wouldn't be as far as Josh Gordon. Josh Gordon is reportedly looking at a 10-game suspension. But he's going to be probably somewhere in the middle. He's going to still have to serve some of that suspension. And he doesn't have a clean slate.
And again, Bobby, it wasn't the fact that, oh, you know, he smokes marijuana. We can't have him on this team. You know, they told him you have to stop doing this, but he continued to do it anyway.
Giants, we don't stand for that.
Yeah, exactly.
Thing is, it was just it's like Tom Coughlin. You know what I mean? We don't stand for the nonsense. So I get it, but I just think Stevie Brown looks a little slow. You know, I think JPP's looked real good. I mean, he hasn't been getting. I was like just really focused on watching him, and both games he might not have the stats to back it up, but I just see him at least making a pot. He's getting a push. He's not getting there every time. Sometimes he pushes too far inside and they go around, but he just looks a lot better than he did last year.
I would still say a little inconsistent, Bobby. He looks really good from one play here, one play there. Then you don't hear from him for a few series. So I think consistency still needs to get there.
What do you guys think of this game coming up? Do you think the defense is going to hold the offense of the Texans, or the Texans D is just going to manhandle us? How are we feeling?
I think this game has to get won by the defense. I think the offense is going to struggle against this Texans defense, and that's nothing negative about the Giants offense. The Texans defense, much like Pete Domelatis, our guest, said, one of the reasons the Giants haven't run the ball the first 2 weeks, they're going against two great defensive lines. Well, guess what?
Yeah.
Here comes another one. And you got pretty good guys in the secondary, too. They have a lot of creative blitz packages. So, to me, this Giants offense isn't going to go out there and put 27 on the board on Sunday. They're going to score, you know, 17, 20 points, 21 maybe, and this defense is going to have to shut the Texans offense down. How about turning over Ryan Fitzpatrick? This guy's had a ton of interception issues in the past. How about forcing a turnover?
He's played clean
Drew
football
Stanton.
Thus far.
When I saw Drew Stanton, I was so happy, and then I started thinking, and a couple of buddy of mine, we were at a bar, started thinking, we have like the worst records versus the backup quarterbacks. Backup quarterbacks like kill us.
No question.
Oh,
pretty.
Man.
Thank you, Bobby.
But all right, guys. You guys have a good one.
You know, it's funny. Bobby just mentioned that. I got a funny story. I was coming up from the pregame show down in the Plaza area. You guys still have one more segment left. I went up early to try to get the booth ready for the radio show. And I share an elevator with John Mara. And I say, oh, Mr. Mara, how are you doing today? He goes, doing great. It's a beautiful day. I go, yeah, it is. And I said, you know, a lot of Giant fans came up to me before the game and said, you know, Carson Palmer's not playing. This is great. And then I looked at Mr. Mara. I go, but then again, we know about backup quarterbacks in this building, and he just looked at me, laughed, rolled his eyes, and he goes, don't even say it.
So
he knows.
It's been well documented.
We all know.
Yeah, it's no gimme, despite the fact that Drew Stanton was getting his first start since 2010.
Exactly. So
it was very rough. Getting back to the Houston Texans
defense
real quickly. The Redskins actually ran the ball effectively the first half.
They moved the ball well, too. They just turned it over a couple
times.
They
turned the ball over. RG3 had two fumbles. The other problem was they just abandoned the run. for some wild reason, Alfred Morris didn't get as many carries in the second half, and the game was still relatively close. They only won by 11 points.
Have you heard of Gruden's the head coach over there? They like to...
Yes. They do like to throw. However, he did come from the Bengals, who had Giovanni Bernard last year.
That's true.
And they did like to utilize him, even if he wasn't necessarily just a runner.
Though Andy Dalton did have some 40 and 50 pass attempt games last year, too, if I recall.
No, he did. He did have a career year as a result, and they were trying to make sure that he can earn his next contract. Yes. But the Texans' defense, just to get back to Bobby's question, I mean, they are going to make it very rough for the Giants' offense. One of the key matchups to already focus in on, Justin Pugh's going to have to go up against J.J. Watt.
Yeah.
And that is not going to be any picnic.
Well, it's Pugh and Jerry. Because
both.
When,
the combination.
When they're in
three,
that base 3-4, Watt's going to be inside a little bit there. So Jerry's going to have to deal with him, too. And it'll be interesting. It'll be very, very difficult. And John Jerry played well, according to Pete Domelatis, who we got him from Pro Football Focus. He played well last week. I'm watching him live and watching the replay of the game. I thought he played well, too. And I agree. I thought it was Richburg and J.D. Walton that had the issues on that side. So they'll have to deal with the big nose tackle for the Texans, and we'll have to see how they fare this week as compared to weeks 1 and 2. Back to the phones at 201-939-4513. Rocky's down in Florida. Rock, what's going on, pal?
How you fellas doing?
What's up, Rock?
Doing well, Rocky.
All right. First thing after that game the other day, the first thing popped in my head was that Bill Callahan press conference when he was the Raiders coach.
What about
him? He was talking about when he says, we have to be the worst team in the NFL, and I'm so critical because of the way we give games away. That's the first thing popped in my head after that game.
That's fair. Look, hey, look, Rocky, the Giants have lost these first two games just as much because of their own bad play as because of their opponent's good play. There's no question.
Yeah, and what Charlie was talking about Pugh being a guard, me and Paul was the one saying that. We said he makes a good right tackle, but he probably would be a all-pro guard.
Probably. And well, maybe he could be. Who knows, though? No one knows for sure. Pugh's never played guard before. I don't know how people can just say, I think he's going to be a great guard when he's never played the spot before.
Well, one reason why I thought he would be a better fit at left guard because of them small arms. I think he's got the smallest arms, like 31 and a half, them T-Rex arms of any tackle in the league.
We're back on the arms.
I remember that was a knock on him coming in.
Well, but then you got to find the new right tackle. Keep that in mind. And you're going to start manipulating and changing guys left and right each and every contest, and that hasn't bode well for the New York Giants. Rocky, listen, the offensive line has room for improvement. Don't get me wrong. But you're actually coming off a game where you look much better than week one. So, I mean, for everybody to keep talking about they got to change this guy or they got to change that guy, let's see what this line does in the next game or two before all of a sudden we bring back a game of musical chairs.
Yeah, I agree. We looked a lot better. I just wanted to clear that up for Charlie. Because both of y'all was like, we didn't say that. We didn't say that. And that's where it come from. But where the hell is Hillis? I mean, we get down two games at the one-yard line, and we're throwing fade routes. A decent team with some corners and somebody like a Sherman will make you pay for that. Why is Hillis not in the game on the one-yard line when we need to punch it in?
Well, Rocky, I mean, I think the reason the Giants went to those fade routes is because they thought they had great matchups against smaller corners. If Richard Sherman's out there or they're playing, you know, Patrick Peterson actually succeeded against with Reuben Randall. But if you're playing a top corner, yeah, you can punch the ball. But honestly, I don't think Rashad Jennings and Andre Williams have to be taken out of the game on the goal line. Both those guys have more than enough power to get the ball into the end zone from the one. You don't need to see Peyton Hillis there.
But my point is this, John, I mean, why is he even on the team if we can't even figure out a little short yardage goal line type role for the team?
Rocky, he's depth.
He pass protects better. He can catch the ball as good as the other two. Maybe not quite as much as Jennings, but he can catch the ball out the backfield.
Yeah, but Jennings and Williams are better players. Jennings and Williams are better. I'm not going to force-feed Peyton Hillis just because he's on the roster when the other two guys are better players.
But what about last game when they're not getting it done? And, like, one of the callers, I forgot who it was yesterday.
Andre Williams did have a rough game, if that's what you're alluding to. He did have a rough game in terms of protecting the football and catching it, but that doesn't mean that you automatically bench him. Remember, one of the complaints from Giants fans the last few years has been every time a rookie screws up, Tom Coughlin benches them. David Wilson would be the first guy. Now, the goal is not to automatically throw them to the sideline because you want them to continue to develop. Keep in mind, and I understand right now the Giants need to think short term. The goal is let's get this team on the right track, but Andre Williams is going to be the future running back of this team. It's not going to be Peyton Hillis. So you want to try to give him as many reps as humanly possible now so that it helps him in the long run. Peyton Hillis, nothing against him. I think he's a valuable part of this team, but in terms of his long-term viability and future with this organization, there's not nearly as much upside as a guy like Andre Williams.
Yeah, well, against that 3-4 defense, I think the weakness is between the tackles since they have that extra linebacker instead of DT in there. And I think it just makes more sense if the other ones aren't really getting it done and being effective to bring your 250-pound back in and take your shots off guard between them tackles and see what happens. You
all
know,
right,
as a fan, I would feel a lot better if I saw them try that and it didn't work, you know.
All right, thanks
and the
for calling.
And the thing with Hurstlick, I mean.
Yeah, real quick, real quick, Rob.
Y'all know I didn't even want him on the 53, and I just don't know why Pasinger didn't come in at Sam and they shift McClain over. I think y'all touched on that the other day, and I'll take your answer off there. Appreciate it.
Thanks, Rob. Right. Appreciate it. Look, I think it'll be interesting to see if Beeson can't go and Kennard can't go on Sunday, how the Giants work their linebackers. They have options, and that's great. You have guys that are versatile that can do multiple things. But, look, Hurstlick has gotten multiple opportunities here, Lance, to play middle linebacker in the regular season. Generally speaking, it hasn't worked out too well.
Well, Hurstlick has maintained the roster spot because of his ability on special teams.
And that's fair. You have to have guys on the roster for
special
teams.
That's why he's on this roster.
There's nothing wrong with that.
Why he got ahead of the depth chart on Spencer Pasinger, it is a valid question by all of the fans who called up. John and I don't necessarily have an answer for you. This game moving forward.
Coach was not asked that yesterday.
Correct. He was not asked that at his press conference. You hope they evaluate the film and they look for better matchups, and this week perhaps Pasinger has more of a role. Keep in mind, the approach to this game is a little bit different than the Cardinals game. If you know you don't have Beeson going in, you now all of a sudden set your game plan. They went into the Cardinals game thinking, hey, Beeson's going to play all four quarters. Beeson goes down, now you have to adjust on the fly, so they've had more additional time to evaluate Hurstlick. Now if Beeson can't go, you say, okay, which three linebackers give us the best matchup against the Houston Texans personnel? I'm sure Pasinger is going to get some legitimate looks this week, especially with the way Hurstlick performed in the last contest.
Couple of tweets I want to get to really quickly. Joe Passos, Cruz is catching only 43% of his targets, and that's a huge problem. That's fair. If you're the one wide receiver, you got to have a better than a 43% catch rate. You have to. It's got to be better than that. No question about it. Let's see. What else do we got here? Oh, Big Bluviator mentions we haven't talked about Larry Donnell yet, and it's true. I mean, all the losing, and I'll give you a chance
talked
to go on your
yesterday.
Larry Donnell rant, I know, because no one's happier about Larry Donnell than Lance Metal. But with all the questions about the tight ends, at least as a receiver now, Larry Donnell has been probably better than what Brandon Myers was last year, and as a receiver, just as good as Martellus Bennett, for that matter.
Well, he's made plays for Eli Manning. Yeah, that's what at least has stood out for Larry Donnell.
And even better, he's made plays on passes that weren't even
correct.
Great. He's had to adjust in the air, make some tough catches behind him in the air, et cetera.
And what is this team in need of right now, John? It's in need of those receivers to make the plays when the pass is not necessarily on target or perfectly placed for them to grab it in stride and then do the dirty work, as we've seen with the Victor Cruzes and the Ruben Randles of the world. Larry Donnell, you can't criticize from that standpoint. Daniel Fells has a touchdown. They have gotten some productivity out of the tight end spot. Does the blocking need to improve across the board in that tight end spot? Absolutely.
Sure.
But you know what? For a team lacking consistent playmakers, you'll take what you can get from Larry Donnell right now.
201-939-4513. And Andrew with Big Bluviator points out the Giants are fourth in the NFL in red zone percentage. And I was going to bring that up to Rocky, too. People complaining about not running it in. Well, you're getting in the end zone. I mean, you're scoring. They're not settling for field goals inside the 10 here. So it's working. So there's no reason to, you know, freak out about it. 201-939-4513.
I was
going to
say, before we get back to the phones, there were a few questions on Twitter about Odell Beckham Jr. status. And clearly that's going to be a big topic of discussion. Coughlin addressed Beckham at his press conference yesterday, said he's making progress, but that's pretty much where he left it off at.
Well, we got to see if he practices tomorrow.
Yeah.
And my guess is that he's going to have a week of limited practice before he has a week of full practice, and he's not going to play until he has a week of full practice. Now, that's generally how the Giants do things with inexperienced players that haven't played a whole lot. So my guess is you'll see him do some limited stuff in individuals this year. He'll start to do maybe some full team on Friday. He's not going to play on Sunday. Again, this is my guess. I don't know if this is actually what's going to go down. And the issue, if they were playing next Sunday, I think he might be playing against the Redskins. The problem is that they're playing Thursday. So you're only going to have one day of real practice next week. And I don't think they're going to want to rush him back after just one day of practice. Now, maybe you'll see him next week against Washington on just special teams. And you'll see him as a receiver for the first time against Atlanta. That's a possibility. but I wouldn't go holding my breath thinking that Beckham's going to be playing on Sunday against the Houston Texans or playing receiver against the Redskins next Thursday. That's just my guess.
I would agree with you. I think Atlanta, if you want to circle a date on the calendar, Atlanta is probably a good target game to say maybe this is going to be the first significant playing time for Odell Beckham Jr. Yeah. I don't think he's going to dress this weekend. Outside chance for the quick turnaround with the Redskins. Also keep in mind, if they're banged up coming out of that game, John, based on personnel numbers, they may have to force him to dress to at least play special teams. All right. That all depends.
Final call of the show, Lance, and we go through a couple more tweets before we say goodbye. Rick in Tampa Bay. Rick, what's going on, buddy?
Last time I called, it was the first caller, and I'm the last caller. Boy, what
you're bookending us, Rick.
There you go, Rick. Yeah. Save the best for last.
Yeah, good. Well, you've answered several good questions towards the end here, and one of them, well, Beckham, which you touched on, which is good to see that he'd possibly be back. And I want to ask two quick questions. One about Beeson, because we know he's out for a while now, and that could be
– well, do we, though?
Yeah, they said it. It's the Bleacher's Report. They just posted it. He's out
for a
while.
I missed that.
Yeah. Yeah, so he's out for a while. So really now, and you made a good point now, if they know he's out, they're going to look at the three. Who is going to be – I mean, he's a big part vocally and everything of our defense. And I know two losses, he hasn't produced the wins, and we haven't won with them, but Beeson is still the man for vocal. Who is, do you think is going to be that guy, and how important is that for – the Giants to have a middle linebacker who's going to be still in Beeson's shoes. I think it's very important.
Absolutely, because coming into this season, depth was something that everybody was raving about, especially on defense. Now, all of a sudden, what happens, Rick, when you're plagued by injuries, you have to feed into your depth chart. And the way the linebacker core looked heading into the season is a lot different than how it looks two games into the year. So if Spencer Paisinger could fill the void, that would be a big plus. I think the fact that you have Jameel McClain, who can move to the middle, considering he filled in for Ray Lewis over the last few seasons with Baltimore, is a positive. And he played in that spot during the bulk of OTAs and training camp. So, I mean, if I were in a decision-making seat, I would say it's smart to move McClain into the middle and then utilize Paisinger and Williams on the outside, as opposed to McClain on the outside, bringing Herzlick in the middle. McClain's got comfort. He has some flexibility where he can play the middle, and he's going to be the guy that now is going to have to call out the plays if Beeson misses time. I'd want McClain in that spot.
And, Rick, quickly, on that Bleacher Report thing you're talking about, that was posted 2 days ago, and it was he's kind of just taken a quote from Dan Graziano from ESPN that he put up on Twitter after the injury happened in the game, that he could be out a while since it's on the same foot, but there's nothing since the MRI got done, was done yesterday.
It came up again about a half hour ago, and they reported it a couple of people said it, same thing on FAN. And so you're saying it's the same, that's the same report that.
Yeah,
that
you know, I just did a quick search on Twitter and a quick search on the internet. I don't see any updated reports on Beeson. And I can tell you for sure the Giants haven't announced anything, but I don't even see any media reports. So, knock on wood, you hope that he's going to be okay. And the Giants should have some word either later today, I'd say, or when Coach Coughlin does his press conference tomorrow at 11 o'clock. He'll have something on that.
Rick, to piggyback off of that, I just went to the Bleacher Report website on the Giants page, and the story they have up is from September 14th, which just says he could be out a while. There's no definitive update on that front.
I thought it was new when it came out. And you know what? You guys got to go. But I'm telling you right now with Cruz, this is his first year coming in, and this is a bad thing as the man. And so far, and if you look the last couple of years, he always drops passes in the first couple of games.
No, he does.
But
you're
always had Hicks. He's always had Hicks and in the past Burris as the main guys. But it's all on him now. And you know what? He's not doing it. He's the pressure of being number one guy. He's dropped those passes, can't be dropped by him, and I'm getting really nervous about can he be big play guy anymore.
Rick, I think it's a good question. Thanks for the call, my friend.
All right.
I appreciate it. Look, he makes a good point. Last year when it was clear Knicks wasn't his usual self, Cruz slowed down. He started to struggle. And he hasn't had to be Calvin Johnson, where, he didn't have anybody across him. Now he is Golden Tate Calvin Johnson, but before this year, he didn't have anybody that would be considered a star. He hasn't had to be A.J. Green, who has a Mohamed Sanu across him, or, something like that. So,
boy, look at the great deal of respect you have for Mohamed Sanu. I mean, I Really want to pat you on the back.
No, that. No, my point, though, is that Mohamed Sanu isn't a great wide receiver.
Well, I thought you were about to put him up on top.
No, I wasn't. That's my Mohamed point. Sanu. Is yes. that No, I think he's a fine young player. But A.J. Green's had to deal with double teams all day and still get his 100 catches and 1,400 yards. You know what I mean? Victor Cruz hasn't done that yet. And I think this is a test for him. We saw him last year when Nick started to struggle. He wasn't the same type of explosive player. And unfortunately, early on this year, I think we've seen a little bit of a continuation of that.
Well, I think Rick touched on an interesting point, was the fact that Cruz has had the case of the dropsies before. This is not necessarily something new. It's always a troubling aspect, but let's go back to that year where he had the breakout campaign, 2011. That first Redskins game, remember all the drops he had in that contest? Everybody was a little concerned. That was the year where he almost didn't even make the roster, and then slowly he starts to break out in that Philadelphia game. He winds up making that big catch against a good Eagles secondary, at least on paper. DRC was in the mix. Asamoah, excuse me. The name just didn't flow off the tongue as nice as I would have liked to. But they had a big, prolific Eagles secondary at the time, and Cruz made plays, and things started to build off of that. But right now, he's got more pressure on him because he doesn't have a security blanket.
And people are targeting him. It's a lot easier to catch people by surprise than to sustain that greatness over a course of a number of years. So that's the next test for Victor Cruz. It's that simple. And him and Ruben Randall and Larry Donnell's going to have to keep doing it. You're going to have to run the ball better. You got to get Eli some help. The team's going to win some football games.
Need playmakers. Need consistency.
No question about it. Giants will need some plays on Sunday against a very strong Houston Texans defense to get their first win of the regular season. That's all the time we have today for Big Blue Kickoff Live here on Giants.com. For Lance Mendel, I'm John Schmelk. The show returns tomorrow at noon. Anita Marks and Roman Oben take your calls right here at 12 noon on Giants.com. Make sure you check it out, and you can find the archive of the show on Giants.com later on today as well. You can also download the audio on iTunes and the mobile app, anywhere else you might want to listen. Check it out, and of course, you can always chat with Lance and I on hashtag GiantsChat throughout the day. Don't forget on Giants.com tomorrow as well, 11 a.m., Tom Coughlin's live press conference. Make sure you check it out. And then Roman Oben and Paul Dottino break it down right after Coach's presser until 11:30. Then at the aforementioned Big Blue Kickoff comes your way at noon. For Lance Mendel, I'm John Schmelk. Have a great day. We'll see you tomorrow on Giants.com. And stay tuned to Giants.com for the latest on John Beeson and the injuries as we head towards the Texans on Sunday. Have a good day.
Have a good one.